Amos, like all of the best prophets, cuts right to the chase. He doesn't mince his words. Your religious trappings are a trap. Unless you are taking what you learn in your sanctuaries out into your streets, then you are trapped. Our work is to break out of the traps that we set in the name of God so that we can all be free, as is the will of God. Our work, he cries out to Israel and to us still, is to let justice flow like water and righteousness like a stream. So for a lot of my colleagues, this is the one day out of 52 Sundays in a year where they can safely preach about justice, where they can safely preach about what is described over and over again in our scripture: care for the widow, the orphan, and the stranger, identifying the imbalance between the haves and haves not, and leveling them out, not just spiritually, but in material terms, through our gifts and through our hard work. This is not a problem I have at Ames United Church of Christ. So, I mean, we could just do some high fives, go on to the next hymn, and get to the cookies in about 15 minutes. But I'm not going to let you. As I was praying on this scripture this week, as I went into it and I sat in front of Amos and I imagined what he was describing, and I thought about the eagerness and the willingness with which this church jumps into the rivers of justice and righteousness, what kept coming to my mind was the source of that water, the structure of those streams. Because water takes a toll. Water, whether it is simply sitting in a puddle or trickling down or pouring down from the sky, it changes everything it touches. Water can grow a plant. Water can make wood rot. Floodwaters can destroy a home, but clean water can be brought in later in order to restore that home. And God is saying that God wants justice to roll down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Justice and righteousness, those rivers are full of debris. The rivers of justice and righteousness are full of unexpected rapids that you can't see coming. They're filled with toxic spills. And sometimes the rivers of justice and righteousness are like an eternal doldrum, so unmoving that you think you're going to suffocate. So if we are supposed to do the work, if we're supposed to create the conditions where justice and righteousness can be as strong as the Niagara and as wide as the Mississippi, then we need to make sure that the bottom of that river is deep and that the banks are good and strong. We need to make sure that we can withstand that work of justice and righteousness. And we can't be so focused on the goal that we lose sight of the source. Or else we risk being overcome by the waves, or just getting so tired at those oars of righteousness that we abandon ship and go to dry shores, give up, like the people did in the time of Amos. So today I want to talk about two waters, the waters of creation and the waters of baptism. As we know, our Bible is not a biology textbook. It is a metaphysical assertion. It is a theological reflection on what life means, what life is for. And it asserts that in the beginning, holiness invited the deep water to do a new thing, and it was good. Over and over again, we hear over the course of these 7 days that the divine brought new life out of waterness and not yet substance, life that is familiar to us, life that is still strange, and God kept saying, it is good. Creation is good. And God had faith that we, as part of this good creation, could be good stewards of that goodness, which we've failed so many times because of our hubris, because of our willful ignorance and blindness. But in our failures, we have never once destroyed goodness. The waters of the deep, the waters of the goodness, the waters even of the rivers of justice and righteousness continue to flow out from Eden to all of the corners of the earth, so that we are never far from our source. So we can always tap in again to the goodness so that someday we could even come back to the start of it all, which is the invitation that Jesus makes when he steps into some water to do a new thing. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are 4 gospel and communities. They don't agree on everything about Jesus at all. They don't agree on whether his birth was special. They don't agree on whether Jesus understood himself to be an anointed one. And they don't agree on how many times Jesus appeared to people after Good Friday or to whom. They don't agree, except all 4 of them agree that Jesus was baptized by water and the Holy Spirit in the Jordan River. All 4 of them agree. In all 4 of them, Jesus begins his public ministry, which is his first intentional effort to demonstrate what it means to be a faithful person by going to a river in a crowd and immersing himself fully in that tributary of creation's deep so that he could rise up again as an agent of creation's redemption. We do the same thing when we make the choice to be baptized in the name of Jesus. When we come to this font in this place, we make vows. When we come here, we vow to renounce the sources of evil through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. When we come to this font, we vow to profess Jesus Christ as guide, teacher, agitator, and scandalous presence. When we come to this font, we vow that by the grace of God, we will resist oppression and try to practice justice and love as best we are able. And we do it like Jesus. We do it publicly. Jesus didn't have a private baptism. He didn't have a family-only event. Jesus does not lead us to the waters alone. Jesus knows how dangerous bodies of water can be, even the bodies of water that God asks us to unleash. So go with a crowd, he says, or at least go with a few disciples, in case you have a hard time coming back up to the surface. Which is why when we are here in this place, and we're honored to witness somebody's baptism, someone's choice to make vows of justice and love, we make promises back. We promise back to the baptized that we will nurture their faith by celebrating Christ's presence and furthering Christ's mission in all of the world. Jesus makes it clear with any, as the Bible say, who have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to listen, that the teaching, healing, feeding, eating, walking, resting, and resisting, all the things yet to come after his baptism, that those rivers of justice and righteousness that he let flow begin in the deep rivers of God's goodness and are successful and are made stronger through the presence of community. Justice work is really hard. Justice work taxes us, and we know that it will never be done in our lifetimes, no matter how hard we work. As Jazz said, to be kind to people, to share what we have, and to let God know that we love God. We are not buckets. We're not ships ready-made to receive all of that water or some kind of impenetrable craft that will not be damaged or eroded in heart or energy because of that righteousness work. But we have this. And we have this. We have water from the time before time. Water that has come to us through Eden and the flood, through the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea. Waters of the deep that come to us from the fonts of the very earliest church communities and from the baptistries of full immersion. We have the water of God's goodness that has come to us through the Ames Aquifer and through this pitcher that we keep in the little kitchen. It is through baptism by water in the Holy Spirit that we enter into the rivers of justice and righteousness. And it is by baptism by water and the Holy Spirit that we find a way to stay afloat, to keep rowing, to not get capsized, no matter what turns those river takes, no matter where they end up. Now, I know it is not in our tradition in the United Church of Christ, as inheritors of the Congregational Christian Churches of America and the Evangelical and Reformed Church, it is not in our tradition to do an altar call. We don't actually even have an altar. We have a communion table. But is there anyone today who has not been baptized in this room who wants to know what it is like to be free of the traps of fear, isolation, and propriety, and to know the goodness that God intends for us? Is there anyone here today who has not been baptized, who wants to touch and know skin to skin the source of God's goodness and be strengthened for the work alongside with people who are trapped by poverty, racism, and illness to let loose the goodness that God has for us all. Is there anyone who is moved to be baptized today? Come on forward, Josh. This is our brother Josh. You may know him better by his children, Galahad and Persephone, because they are amazing.
And loud.
Galahad and Persephone and Angel, do you want to come stand with your dad and your partner for this? Come on. Let's keep him company. Where'd Galahad go?
He's upstairs.
He's got stuff to do. That's cool. You want to hold his hand? So our brother Josh, do you renounce the sources of evil as guided by the Holy Spirit? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you, Josh, vow to proclaim Jesus Christ as guide, agitator, and scandalous presence? If so, say, I do.
Oh, I do.
Oh, I do. Do you, Josh, vow with all the grace and strength that God can give you to resist oppression and to practice justice and love as best you are able?
So much I do.
So lean in the water. You know, you've seen this before, so it's going to be real messy. Get in here. I baptize you in the name of the Creator and God. I baptize you in the name of the Son and the Child. I baptize you in the name of the Holy Spirit and redeeming power. Amen. Rise up, and here's a cloth for you. And so let us make vows to you, Josh, today. Everyone here, do you vow to nurture Josh in his faith, to proclaim with all your heart and all your being Christ's presence in the world, and to work with him, this man here standing here before you today, and his beautiful family, to further Christ's mission in all the world? If so, say, I do. Amen. Can I give you a hug?
Yeah.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here today, thank you, who has been baptized? Maybe like me, you were as a kid and you don't remember anything about it. Is there anyone here today who has been baptized and would like to renew those vows for yourself, to remind yourselves of the deep water of God's goodness from which we come and the strength of community in which we worship and work? Come forward now to renew your baptisms, and Sonny will lead us in singing hymn 351, I Was There to Hear Your Morning Cry.